I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're going to stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide. Suicide is a suicide.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
What's really eye-opening here is you watch your TV, but with this hack, your TV can watch you. Show us how that works.
So one of the things that we were able to do with the smart TV platform was actually abuse the browser to the extent that we could actually gain access to the camera that's built into the TV.
Right.
And so what we can prove here is that with a little bit of extra code, we can turn the camera on in your browser.
Wow.
And while this is evident to you right here because we've designed it that way, this is something that we can do invisibly and actually have the camera running behind the web page that you're looking at.
So what this means is I could be sitting here watching TV from my bedroom, and you could be anywhere in the world looking at this image of me watching.
Yep, I could be sitting on a laptop in a cafe in Paris, and as long as I have a network connection, I'd be able to get into your TV and access the camera.
The kind of scary things about it is that it doesn't actually give any indication that the camera's on, and there is no little LED that shows up when the camera's on. So it could actually be watching you and you never even know.
What is a smart TV, and why is it a playground essentially for hackers?
Right, it's a computer. So instead of just being, you know, a tube and some other electronics, now it has a web browser and it has, you know, a lot of devices are running Linux. X is the actual windowing system that the TV runs, just like a normal Linux system, so I can go ahead and just kill that right now and the TV should turn black.
But the real danger is when people start using smart TVs for things like online banking, we can take a popular bank address and translate that into a different IP address to a site that directs to a site that we control. So it may look like your bank's login, but you're actually entering a username and password that goes to us instead of your bank.
In a statement to CNN Money, Samsung says it takes consumer privacy very seriously. The camera can be turned into the bezel of the TV so that the lens is covered or disabled by pushing the camera inside the bezel. The TV owner can also unplug the TV from the home network when the smart TV features are not in use. As an added precaution, we also recommend that customers use encrypted wireless access points when using connected devices. When people see this and listen to this, they're going to think, my God, can people actually watch me from my television? Can you definitively say that has been fixed?
This issue has existed even on laptops. It's a lot harder now because, different companies have taken a lot of efforts to make that difficult. But the fundamental flaw is still possible, even on a modern computer. It just takes somebody to, find the right exploit and then leverage it.
For those of us who are a little freaked out and maybe don't trust all these updates, what's the easiest fix?
So one of the things that you could do with the smart TV, which you can also do with your laptops, is just cover up the camera.
Everybody nice for your day today.
It's a bird? No. It's a plane? No. It's Jetman, and it's your shot of the morning.
Wow.
Jetman can even get to as high as 12,000 feet. Look at that.
Astonishing. It's magical.
Putting the cat aside for a second, there is breaking news out of Washington.
Today, the president will continue his campaign road tour. We hear he plans to make an announcement about corporate taxes.
Alrighty.
Reports indicate that the policy doesn't exactly qualify as news. It's just a further left version of a plan he already proposed, this time with extra goodies for tax and spend liberals.
Extra goodies?
The first part will be music to the ears.
Next we'll hear loopholes and deductions, revenue neutral, special interests,
blah, blah, blah.
Loopholes, special interest tax breaks, tax revenue.
You saw that coming.
Boy, oh boy.
Number one, jobs in American manufacturing. Number two, jobs rebuilding our infrastructure. We've got to export more. Now's the time to double down on renewable energy and biofuels and electric vehicles.
Taking control of the car.
Here's the bottom line. If folks in Washington really want a grand bargain, how about a grand bargain for middle class jobs?
The fact of the matter is this recovery has been a phony recovery.
Did you refer to it as a phony recovery? Because that's clever.
This is no joking matter.
So it's serious and to the point and get the work done.
You don't miss a beat.
Jacoby in the New York Times making the argument that the women who are in the business of sexting are not victims but thrill seekers. She questions why Anthony Weiner is being called a pervert in all of this and that Sidney Leathers, the woman involved, is not. And Leathers, I want to play this for everybody, actually spoke to Howard Stern and claimed how Weiner was able to lure her in. Take a look.
I think I am a little bit angry with him just because, you know, I feel like he lured me into this situation and then he didn't want to own up to it. What pissed me off was him on the campaign trail saying, oh, I've changed, and trying to act like he has this perfect marriage now and everything's just peachy.
The hypocrisy got to you.
Yeah, I was like, bullshit, I am proof that you have not changed.
Meanwhile, this chick is so bad, you know, excuse me.
Bad news for Anthony Weiner.
Can you believe it?
This is the story that keeps on giving.
First, his campaign manager quits, followed by a drop in the polls, and now this.
Well, Weiner's communication director trashed one of his interns to Talking Points memo.
It is an epic rant that we can barely repeat on TV.
Do I read this?
Please read it.
Oh, we have to read everything, Weiner.
Barbara Morgan called Newsy an expletive slut bag.
Expletive.
Expletive.
Expletive bleeping slut bag.
There's you. This whole thing with
they're
effing
yours.
Slut bag.
Slut.
Everything.
I'm dealing with, like, stupid bleeping interns.
That's the intern you see right there. That's Huma. That's not the intern.
Okay.
The spokeswoman said that the intern sucked at her job. And the spokeswoman also called that intern just about every single name in the book.
The lingo coming out of that campaign as it crashes and falls.
Not even suitable for cable.
B-I-T-C-H was the nicest word in that fuselage.
I will let you fill in the blanks.
Yeah, it is a mess.
But that's not all.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man.
It is like watching the Kardashians in a car wreck.
So I don't know if we can live without the Kardashians.
I'm going to move on.
You know some things about me more than any other candidate you'll ever know, maybe in your life, maybe way more than you'd want.
I'm really trying to figure out whether this is a tragic comedy or a comic tragedy.
right, another space news. This one is real. The House Science Committee rejected funding for a planned manned mission to an asteroid. Now, this was actually really important because the plan was essentially to lasso an asteroid and send astronauts to investigate it. Representative Stephen Palazzo called the plan poorly defined, but the whole goal was to find out what asteroids could do to destroy this planet, and asteroids could be a major problem. Former astronaut Ed Liu told us there is a 1 in 3 chance of an asteroid hitting Earth that could literally destroy life sometime in the next century.
Start has begun. Launch command has been issued.
NASA launched an unpiloted cargo craft from Kazakhstan on Saturday.
And liftoff.
Its mission? To deliver supplies to the International Space Station.
Liftoff of the ISS Progress 52 cargo craft on an expedited journey of 4 orbits to the International Space Station.
The ISS Progress 52 launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome. It contains 3 tons of food, fuel, supplies, and experimental hardware, including vital spacesuit repair tools.
First and second stage boosters are reported operating normally. 37 seconds into the flight.
The shipment was expected to reach the space station after orbiting the Earth 4 times.
The Soyuz booster and the Progress resupply craft arcing out to the northeast.
NASA released a temperature rise video that I've given the name We're F*** by 2100. Too subtle? The We're F*** video shows what the Earth will be like if the CO2 in the atmosphere continues on its current path. And it makes the problems in the movie Independence Day seem downright manageable. Now don't worry, here's the part of the video where I say we can handle this. And it's true, it would only take a small percentage of the population to bring about all the change we need. But only if we get off our f***ing asses and do it now. And the most exciting part about this is it gives us a chance to test the Pentagon's ability to deal with our dissent. You see, Guardian News is reporting that the Pentagon is gearing up for increased public fury over oncoming climate and energy madness. Geez, I wonder what gave them the idea that we might start to get a little restless. Was it the f***ing tornado/forest fire that just wound its way through that dude's living room that you thought might cause tempers to run a little high? Was it the fact that that other guy's Jack Russell Terrier just got sucked up into the eye of a hurricane that made you think we might get a little red under the collar? Or was it when that pickup truck from 3 towns over landed on my neighbor that made you think I might just lose it a little? And of course, the mere idea of the Pentagon, of our government, preparing to defend itself against the American people is, how shall I put this, a little disturbing. But that's for another video. The question here is, what do we do about climate change? You and I are just normal people trying to get by. You just want to relax with some Pinkberry and some Cadbury and some Manilow, comma, berry. We all do. But this first part is really easy. Just talk about this NASA report. Keep it in the top of people's minds. Large change only happens when we reach a cultural tipping point, and like a fat kid on a seesaw, some people have more effect on the tipping than others. But every kid still makes a difference. Of course, sometimes it's tough talking about all this shit because it doesn't make you fun to be around. I'll be honest, at dinner parties, people scoot away from me like I just farted and it sounded like Ann Coulter's audiobook. And it's even weirder than regular weird for me because I'm a comedian, so people are excited at first, like baby birds that have just been delivered a heaping serving of mama regurgitated worm parts, or like a dog stumbling into another dog's butt. Like, wow, check this out. This is a butt I've never known before. Cool. That's what it's like. You're a comedian? Wow. What kind of things do you talk about on stage? Like marriage stuff? Like stuff about how Hispanic people are funny? Or what? And I'm like, well, my last podcast was about child soldiers. And also I interviewed the widow of the dude who was shot 7 times by the FBI, once in the back of the head. And then they do an awkward chuckle, but still try to hold the conversation together like Superman with the train going over his back while he bridges the hole in the overpass. They're clinging on. They're like, oh, well, I guess he must have done something pretty bad to be shot all those times. Nope, he was unarmed, just sitting there. Before I know it, I've got a young soccer mom downing vodka's no chaser just to dull the pain of my comedy, the anguish of talking to a modern-day jester. It's like meeting a juggler who only juggles human heads. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry I made you cry so much. We can talk about something less depressing than my comedy, like Syria? So anyway, the point is, I know it can be uncomfortable to talk about this stuff, but you know what's more uncomfortable?
Congress shall now vote for approval of H.R. 8791, the Homeland Terrorism Preparedness Bill. Said bill requests emergency response funding up to and including, this section is classified, dollars to prepare for a national level terrorist attack and or attack from classified. Funding for first responder personnel and vehicles would be doubled if said attack leads to more than 80% of national population being affected by classified. This funding shall commence in conjunction with the first attack on classified or the first large-scale outbreak of classified, dependent upon which comes first. Civilian and military units shall be trained in containment and combat of classified, including irradiated classified, with possibility of classified airborne, classified flesh-eating, classified, and or all of the above, in such event as classified spewing, classified escape, are released or otherwise become uncontrollable. Air Force units may also be directed to combat said classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strengths. Should event occur in urban areas? Jesus. That's classified, far surpassing our darkest nightmares. Should casualties exceed, classified body disposal actions shall be halted and associated resources shall be reallocated to classified underground, classified protected birthing centers. A new Bill of Rights shall be drafted and approved by classified. Having now reviewed the bill, I ask you to please cast your vote.
Tonight, First Tuesday examines the use of United States Army intelligence agents to spy on American citizens. Up until now, one of America's most cherished traditions has been that the military should exercise no role in the civilian life of the country. But during our social chaos of the late 1960s, this tradition was modified by the United States Army. Under the law, the Army has a responsibility for suppressing civil insurrections. That is all. It cannot arrest civilians unless there's been a declaration of martial law. But there is no law governing military investigations of civilians. The Army has its own investigators in every major city and in many small towns throughout the United States. Military intelligence has a web of command centers, regional headquarters, and field offices. Military intelligence operates 300 offices and has approximately 1,000 plainclothes agents within the continental United States. Their normal assignment is to investigate military personnel and employees of defense contractors for security clearances. But at times, these agents have been assigned to spy on civilians who were not connected with the Army in any way. Only a few of the men who've been military intelligence agents were willing to tell their experiences on television. For some, who feared possible reprisal, we agreed to conceal their identities. Here are some of the former agents who told their stories.
I covered demonstrations in and throughout the city of Atlanta, including Black People's Marches, sanitation strikes, demonstrations against the induction center, and anything that might create a crowd of over 10 people.
Up until June of 1970, I was a special agent in U.S. Army Intelligence, assigned to the 116th Military Intelligence Group located here in Washington, D.C.
I was issued a press credential. The name was Francis T. Naughton of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. I took the press card and attended a press conference, which was given by the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in a basement of an office building in Northwest Washington.
Well, I was a special agent with the 116th Military Intelligence Group in Washington, D.C., and one of my activities with the 116th was to infiltrate anti-war groups, student movement groups in the Washington, D.C. area.
The United States Army Intelligence Command is headquartered at Fort Halibut in Baltimore, Maryland. Its symbol is the Sphinx, which Webster says means a mysterious, inscrutable person given to enigmatic questions. These men are training to be Army intelligence agents. Some will go overseas into highly secret assignments. Others will remain in the United States. The vaults at Fort Halibut contained files on millions of people who have been routinely investigated for normal Army security checks. The Army's entire domestic intelligence network is directed from here. One of the most important regional intelligence commands is located in an obscure section of Southwest Washington, D.C., not far from the Capitol. The 116th Military Intelligence Group has more than 100 special agents. They use these unmarked government cars. Some are equipped with two-way radios. All are equipped with civilian license plates. The Army agents who use them never wear uniforms. They dress like plainclothes cops.
All of a sudden, pow, 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 pow. And he drops. You know, pow, 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 pow. And he drops.
In Boston, it has been a big week in the trial of gangster Whitey Bulger. Whitey Bulger's lawyers began presenting their defense in a huge racketeering indictment that alleges Bulger committed 19 murders. The judge has told Bulger's attorneys they have until tomorrow to decide if he will take the stand in his own defense. But even if that does not happen, what we have learned already in court this week has been kind of incredible. Like that the FBI's files about Bulger were locked in a fireproof safe in the Bureau's Boston offices to keep them from corrupt agents who, it was feared, would leak their contents back to the mob. It was common practice in the Boston office of the FBI in those days for corrupt agents who listed Whitey Bulger as an informant to feed him tips that helped Bulger evade arrest and allowed him to identify who in his gang was working with the FBI against him. Just today, a former FBI agent testified that he warned his bosses at the FBI in 1982 that he was worried one of Bulger's associates was in danger of being killed because a high-ranking member of Whitey's gang found out the guy had been informing to the FBI. The former agent testified that despite his warnings to the FBI, nothing was done, and the informant was killed. The long, sordid history of Whitey Bulger and the FBI in Boston is Exhibit A, that the Bureau is not always squeaky clean, that no one is infallible, and that everyone should be questioned. After the Boston Marathon bombing this spring, FBI agents went to Central Florida to interview a friend of one of the suspected bombers.
Now, maybe they wanted to talk to Ibrahim Todashev about the Boston bombing, or maybe they were questioning him about the unsolved triple murder that took place just outside Boston in 2011, a homicide which one of the suspected bombers was linked to only after the marathon. We don't really know what was discussed because the FBI hasn't told us. What we do know is this. After hours of questioning the young man, and this was apparently the fourth time he was being interviewed, after hours of questions to someone who had made himself available to the FBI again and again, FBI agents shot the young man in his own home. His family has released photos that were supposedly taken of his body at the morgue. They appear to show him shot six times in the torso and once in the back of the head. These are all of the reasons that law enforcement has given since that shooting to explain why they needed seven bullets to subdue the young man they were questioning. First, they said Todashev charged at an FBI agent with a knife. Later that same day, they were backtracking about the knife. 1 week later, an FBI agent said he had seen Todashev coming at him with a metal pole, or maybe it was a broomstick. Oh, no, maybe it was a sword. Where Todashev was just wielding the furniture in the house. Yeah, that was definitely what happened. That's it. Todashev's family, the ACLU, and others who are asking for an independent investigation into what really happened are not alone in thinking that what we have heard so far is nowhere near enough. The state of Massachusetts says it has no plans to look into what provoked the FBI to shoot this young man seven times because the interview took place in Florida, claiming it just doesn't have jurisdiction. Today we learned the state of Florida will not be investigating either because it says the FBI is already investigating itself. That's right. The only official investigation into the convoluted story of why the FBI unloaded seven bullets into someone it was interviewing, that investigation is being conducted by the FBI. As for how that investigation is likely to turn out, this is the FBI's record on navel gazing. Over the past 20 years, the FBI has investigated more than 150 shootings. And in zero of those cases have they ever found wrongdoing. A perfect record for the FBI, according to the FBI.
Getting out of jail is getting a lot easier in Southern California. Correspondent Will Carr tells us, for many suspects, all you have to do is give up a little something.
The program's nickname, Spit and Acquit. Hand over your DNA in Orange County, California, and the prosecutor may drop charges for low-level crimes like petty theft or public drunkenness.
I think we're the first to do it the way we're doing it.
Orange County has 90,000 DNA samples on file. The DA says the database helps solve cold cases and will help solve crimes in the future. Experts say the number of local law enforcement agencies getting into the DNA business has spiked.
Through the use of DNA, there's been cases out there that show you can get more arrests, more convictions.
In fact, some of those who have given their DNA and been cleared of a petty crime find themselves arrested for a more serious crime still on the books.
We've solved other, carjacking, burglary, and quite a few other cases that would have been unsolved had we not had that.
For years, state and federal authorities have collected DNA, compiling large databases to help solve crimes. The difference is those DNA programs are heavily regulated. The newer local DNA programs have few regulations.
These have often been referred to as rogue databases because there's no real law governing them. They do what they want.
I make wax, I pay tax, I don't sell crack, except the kickbacks. You call up on dispatch to deal, you the dip with a dealer. You the distal, took letters from his box, now he's buried in the system. You see me coming out of my building, all types of days and nights. Wondering if I got a 9 to 5, clothes are always new, show you pride, I spy. I flash, you go smile, you're in the corner of my eye. Walking, I feel a hall cover right beside me. So for fun I act, nervous and start to walk lively, sharp left for by. Then I start to jog, every speed accelerating from the J8's car. The sirens sound violent, they expect more, not ready. I'm on the stoop with my man named Little Eddie. We start laughing, cause next door for me is a house that has traffic like drugs are free. But I'm a new face in a new place of a melon race. Guess black to them makes a good felon case. Yeah, that's not so. And I get mad cause everywhere I go, long as I'm dark, rocking clocks, I'm a Phillips dope.
Police be clocking me. Police be clocking me.
we begin in Toronto. New video has emerged of police firing shots inside a downtown streetcar, and that has some wondering whether an 18-year-old man's life could have been spared. Natalie Collada leads off with that story for us tonight. Natalie?
David, it took just a couple of minutes from the beginning of the incident to when police opened fire.
Drop the knife now! Drop the knife!
Three quick shots were fired. Then six more. Then, 30 seconds later, what sounds like a taser.
If this officer had just entertained or distracted him for one more minute, the taser could have been there. We might not have somebody dead.
Former Toronto police officer Ross McLean says 18-year-old Sammy Yateem didn't have to die.
He was fairly contained. He was in the streetcar. You know, he could have let that guy sit there all night. He could have said, look, I'll send you some food. Take it easy. Do you want a cup of coffee? Who do you want us to call for? But we didn't see much of that. We saw what tends to be known as the comply or die request. They clocking, jocking, and knocking me. Wanting a reason for rocking me. But I ain't committing no crimes. Who doesn't stop me? Yossi rolling for Dolo with solo. Cop car comes screeching in my presence. In a second yelling. I'm scared I cannot stop. Hop over a fence running frantic. Sending no signal to a panic. I fuse to be rotten it hard. That you won't scar me. Beating me down. Yelling, smelling the old thing cold for cinder. It was hard but soft to a stick. Some cops are cool and some are just downright dicks. You want to asphyxiate me in a chokehold. Death mocking me. So for that eat my dust. Keep blocking me. Check your speedometer. Check how I'm flashing. Nice sticks and you don't have the same type of fashion. Two blocks behind me. Two Jakes and one blue and white. Pair Glocks equals 32 shots. I think not. Police, police, police be clocking me. Police be clocking me. Police, police be clocking me. Police, 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 police be clocking me. Police be clocking me. Police, police be clocking me. Police, police be clocking me.
Right now, a Florida man is in the hospital recovering from bullet wounds and trying to figure out why sheriff's deputies shot him in his own driveway. Roy Middleton was in his car. He was unarmed when he says it felt like he was put in front of a firing squad. The sheriff's department tells a very different story. CNN's Nick Valencia has more on what happened. He's joining us right now. So what have you discovered, Nick?
Wolf, Roy Middleton is still in the hospital, as you mentioned. His family, though, expects him to get out in the coming days. But for now, he says he's just trying to make sense of what happened.
I complied with the order, and they opened fire on me, and they didn't stop, I guess, until they ran out of ammunition. I felt like I was in front of a firing squad.
The sound of gunfire, a disturbing wake-up call in the wee hours of the morning. An unarmed man getting out of his own car, shot by police.
Is one right here? See the big slug right here?
Ciola Walker says her 6-year-old son, Roy Middleton, was hit twice as bullets flew while he stood in his Pensacola, Florida driveway. Mistaken as a burglary suspect, sheriff's deputies opened fire. The sheriff's office says at least 15 times. He's now in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries.
He's going to be okay, and God just saved him. God just shielded him. I know he did, because they were trying to kill him the way they were shooting. And it was all for nothing.
What for? Is it my B-boy presence mixed with mature? Is it the way Stone and me comb the city in a Benz? Legitimate plus without Benz. Paperwork was right. Beside us had a red light giving dirty looks. I guess assuming we were crooks scoping the car. Tags up the bar, rim shining in your face with the tires armor all in a digging. All young is my complexion, been through getting stressed. So I know you understand what I manifested. Flannery real cool. Vasquez, a black cop, Jones. All crooked with fat rods and homes. Watch your own BD. Put an APB on your sergeant. Corrupt cash, career skating on the margin. Next time, give me my rights. Check out the snipes. Look behind you on the wall, sucker. I rock mics, you young jinx. Police be clocking me. Police be clocking me.
Armed agents raid an animal shelter for a baby deer.
Tonight, Colleen Henry investigates an operation raising questions about the use of government resources and the state policy that meant a death sentence for the fawn.
It was like a SWAT team.
2 weeks ago, Ray Schulze was working in the barn at the Society of St. Francis on the Kenosha, Illinois border when a swarm of squad cars arrived, bearing a search warrant.
9 DNR agents and 4 deputy sheriffs, and they were all armed to the teeth.
The focus of their search, a baby fawn, brought here by an Illinois family worried she'd been abandoned by her mother.
When it made a little noise, it sounded like it was laughing.
Schulze deals mostly with dogs and cats. He videotaped the fawn they named Giggles during the 2 weeks she was here. The DNR began investigating after 2 anonymous calls reporting a baby deer at the no-kill shelter.
The warden drafted an affidavit for the search warrant, complete with aerial photos, in which he describes getting himself into a position where he was able to see the fawn going in and out of the barn.
Agents told staff they came to seize the deer because Wisconsin law forbids the possession of wildlife.
I said, the deer is scheduled to go to the wildlife reserve the next day.
A wildlife reserve in Illinois, which allows the rehabilitation of deer. Schulze says agents corralled workers near the picnic area, then set out in search of the fawn.
I was thinking in my mind, well, yeah, they're going to take the deer and take it to a wildlife shelter. And then here they come carrying the baby deer over their shoulder like a bag of, she was in a body bag. I said, why did you do that? He said, well, it's our policy. And I said, well, that's one hell of a policy.
The Department of Natural Resources spoke to 12 News about the fawn by phone. Supervisor Jennifer Niemeyer says the law requires DNR agents to euthanize animals like Giggles because of the potential for disease and danger to humans.
These are always very difficult situations for both parties involved, and we are empathetic to the fact of what happened because we know in their heart of hearts they tried to do the right thing.
Could you have made a phone call before showing up? I mean, that's a lot of resources.
If a sheriff's department is going in to do a search warrant on a drug bust, they don't call them and ask them to voluntarily surrender their marijuana or whatever drug that they have before they show up.
Niemeyer denies agents killed Giggles at the shelter. She says they tranquilized her, then euthanized her off-site.
I don't care where they would have killed her. It would have been wrong.
Shelter President Cindy Schultz says she plans to sue the DNR for removing Giggles without a court hearing. She also questions what such an operation costs taxpayers.
They went way over the top over a little tiny baby deer.
When I saw Giggles being carried across the thing, yeah, I did cry.
Ray Schulze says he has nightmares about the baby deer raid. He still hasn't moved Giggles' feed bowl or baby bottle. Penalties for possessing wild deer can run into the thousands of dollars in fines and even jail time. But despite the allegations outlined in its search warrant, the DNR tells 12 News it will file no charges against the St. Francis shelter.
Love is a song that never ends. Life may be swift and fleeting. Oh, may thine and heart's beautiful music comes each day like the dawn. Love is a song that never ends. One simple theme repeating. Like the voice of a heavenly choir, love's sweet music flows on.
Long arm of the war is reaching out and closing in on you, you screwy wabbit.
Picture the following scenario. You take a trip abroad, maybe to the Middle East or somewhere in Africa. While you're there, you're kidnapped by covert military officers and brought to the U.S. for interrogation. There, you're detained indefinitely while completely excommunicated from your family and your friends. And on top of all of this, you find out that your citizenship has been revoked, rendering you stateless with no rights.
Now, while this may seem like the plot to a fictional action thriller, stripping people of their citizenship under the guise of national security is becoming standard practice in the war on terror. For example, in the UK, America's closest ally in covert war, there have been at least 21 cases of revoked citizenship after subjects were deemed a person of interest, according to the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. And of those 21 men, only two have been able to appeal the decision, since the UK carries out this controversial practice while the subject is outside of the country. Which is exactly the point, because being a stateless individual marked as a person of interest makes it pretty easy to be executed via Hellfire missile without all that nasty PR about a country killing its own citizens without trial. And if you think there's a stretch to think that stripping of citizenship preempts execution by drone, think again. At least two British nationals have been killed by US airstrikes after being rendered stateless. So what about here in the US? Well, to be fair, there's no evidence suggesting that any American has been stripped of their national identity after being added to a terror list. But does it really matter when apparently being a US citizen doesn't guarantee you any rights? Because according to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, U.S. citizenship is a privilege, not a right. A privilege that didn't do much for the four U.S. citizens that have already been assassinated without due process by U.S. airstrikes to date. So, while the U.K. is at least pretending that they don't authorize extrajudicial killings of their own citizens, the U.S. makes no excuse for openly killing its own without any proof of guilt. But hey, it's not like they haven't tried to hide it. In 2010, the Senate introduced the Terrorist Expatriation Act, which would have granted the State Department the power to revoke citizenship from persons of interest. Sounds familiar. And remember, under the National Defense Authorization Act's definition of an associated force to terrorism, anyone could be a person of interest. And when history looks back at the blanket internment of Japanese citizens or the sweeping surveillance of Muslims, when it comes to when it undermining citizenship, the guise of national security always reigns supreme.
Let them touch me, let them seek to try and rush me. Let me crack the hourglass to end this waiting so they can crush me. My living attempts the best of paths whose wrath would see me burned. But my strokes of luck have struck a chord with swords of those who've learned. And I turn to face the beast, I'll be silenced to say the least. But I'll cease to fear the fear that wrecks this puzzle that I've pieced. As I embattle this counter siege, my bleached self will stealthily die. Cause there's so many guns and only one, there's no one to fortify. So know that I decry with certainty, flirting with my insurgency. While cursing this incursion that's curing despite the hurt. And see, I'm dangerous, and it's worth the curse. Cause if I don't, it's worth some. I better bring the hearse and understand. My nimble mind ain't got time to deal with lies alive inside of a prison. Cause I'm ridden with notions that oceans of life await me. So I'll take my chances dancing with the death to breathe in safety.
Cause the amaranth sees an amaranthine dreams, and the predator sees what sort of predator screams. And it's the same old plot that Nyanay took the first shot. Must have been that crazy man deserving what he got. Cause the amaranth sees an amaranthine dreams, and the predator sees what sort of predator screams. It's the same old plot that Nyanay took the first shot. Must have been that crazy man deserving what he got.
Beating on door planks with spinning smoking text. I'm grinning, focus, let's begin this locust fest. Lord of the flies, orders to die, slaughtering your lies, border to pride. So despite the vast blood loss, the pain will just ride. And in vain I must cry to judge freedom and fight for to test the right course and plug up life's force with lots of mic cords. So electrifying phonetic speaks easy, and the freedom of speech flows freely from each individual. See me? Crunch time, decision maker. Spin a web, but weave a tale to buy a time so you can make a break or run for it. It's an up stand my ground and make a gun for it. So when I turn the bus, you must realize that you are none of this.
In the
depths of my being, I free demons to search for the reasons of malfeasance that be bleeding my breathing. Blood of the lamb, tainted, infecting and holding hatred with single cell pace. I erase my former trace, a former case. Our contact track will crack backs and backs. I hold fast, but track, I won't last. See, seemingly streaming's the proper means of my sealing, and I'm concealing, conceiving while I'm conceiving, deceiving.
The Reaper speaks so pick up furious marksmen can snipe for miles, and the sparks can wipe the smiles. I'm too smart to like the trials. Your heart's pipe beside the vials. Behind mills between the sino. Cross low for your survival. Heads to tooth will never die though.
The Amaranth sees and Amaranthine dreams, and the Predator sees what sort of predator screams. And it's the same old plot. Denying they took the first shot. Must have been that crazy man deserving what he got. Cause the Amaranth sees and Amaranthine dreams, and the Predator sees what sort of predator screams. It's the same old plot. Denying they took the first shot. Must have been that crazy man deserving what he got.
Oh, let them try and take me. Let them seek to taunt and take me down and shake my spirit till they can break me.
Two lines for every side of the story. The sly and the sorry. The violence is gory. You do the lies, the adoring.
I don't walk in secret, and I don't stalk in seasons. Living with these rhythms, my system's as seasoned as treason.
Believe in the problem solver, a revolver to clap at your bastards. Actual actions find the demons marching, matching your passions.
Demons are feeding and breeding. My inner self explodes. War weapons of mass destruction. And tension asunder extinction. Corruption, consumption, conducting, constructing. Eruption of these dungeons, I bludgeon out till they fall. See, my grave is raised, my contempt's been gauged. Now this rage has found a helpful sage. And these blades are cold, inflicting cuts untold. And this day is of a shape that's of a fadeless mold.
I spin around and pound the gavel. I spin around and smooth the gravel to prepare a bed for the bastards that flew the sparrow. Prodding the arrows, pierce four walls that do surround me. Drops of sap from the seeds that sown flood the ground around me. Surreal but yet astounding, truth speaker turned to martyr. Prepare the fledglings to fly from the nest to teach the rest. Without the best, they are the starter of death and eagles hunting. Spray straight shots to aid the chaos so they don't come in.
Sassol is rewarded for his Sassol behavior by business community leaders. Disgruntled bandmates worry Rivers Cuomo's wife is becoming the fifth Weezer. And an area man is too poor to afford movers, too old to get help from his friends. Nothing you are about to hear will be translated, as this video transcends the barriers of ethnicity, creed, language, and mortality. This is the Onion Week in Review. This week, a report issued by experts at the Bureau of Economics confirmed the American economy is just one great speech away from a full recovery. The analysis group's study showed that a 45% increase and passionate rhetoric about the GDP will greatly improve the overall strength of the U.S. economy.
If Obama is able to deliver a stirring, memorable address to the American public, I'd expect unemployment to fall to rates lower than we saw in the early 2000s. I mean, at that point, we would only need a few strongly worded sound bites to usher in a new era of prosperity in the United States.
A poll released this week by the Pew Research Center confirmed the vast majority of Americans simply want to be safe, happy, rich, comfortable, entertained, thin, and romantically fulfilled at absolutely all times. The survey, which also reported that Americans want to be healthy, fulfilled, successful, and constantly energized, conclusively found that people across the country want seasonably warm summers, easy weight loss options, and no more wars, along with a soulmate, unconditional love from their parents, and a big happy dog.
Is it that outrageous to want high-quality goods to be manufactured and sold cheaply right here in the USA? And what about racial equality? Enough time to catch up on all the TV shows I've been meaning to watch.
Access to public libraries, a decent prison system, a new Wes Anderson movie.
Strong manufacturing sector, affordable beachfront property, healthy fast food.
I don't want to pay library fines, I don't want to die, I don't want to wait in traffic. I want to lose weight without having to exercise. Low taxes.
In a statement this week, famed actor and television icon Dick Van Dyke confessed to being the Zodiac Killer, responsible for terrorizing Northern California in the late 1960s and early 1970s. The 85-year-old actor, known for his television and film appearances in classics such as Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Mary Poppins, and The Dick Van Dyke Show, said he committed the canonical five Zodiac murders but also killed over 37 additional people. In a statement, Van Dyke said, quote, "It was unbelievably easy for me to go kill someone, come back to Burbank, and get on set. It was actually part of the fun to see if I could book a flight and make it back in time. Van Dyke's confession is corroborated by several eyewitnesses describing the Zodiac Killer as, quote, a gangly, loose-limbed man with a toothy grin and a spring in his step. And in this week's op-ed pages, a man suggests the footage of Neil Armstrong playing saxophone on the moon was totally staged.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose dripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair.
At times, the royal birth did have all the over-the-top drama of a comic strip, so it seems appropriate that this has been made. Blue Water Productions is releasing a special graphic novel called Royals, Kate and William to celebrate the birth of the new prince. As you've seen already, the 32-pager will feature the couple's life before they met, through to the wedding, and then, yes, of course, this special moment as well. We don't know if there'll be a section dedicated to the hours of shrill, wild-eyed, often pointless reporting by the world's media, but we hope so.
Since Prince William and Kate showed off their newborn son to the world. The last time we saw William, he was strapping the future king's car seat in outside St. Mary's Hospital in London. But now the Duke of Cambridge has made his first public appearance at a charity polo game in Ascot. Riding a white horse, William wasn't afraid to get stuck in during the first half of the Audi Polo Challenge match. He also got to spend some quality time with his brother, Prince Harry. After the game, William hinted Prince George has a mischievous streak as he wriggles a lot and keeps them all on their toes. While he admitted it was good to get out of the house for the afternoon, his fatherly duties never seemed too far from his mind. During the presentation ceremony, William was given a mini polo stick for Prince George. He then revealed he had to pick up some nappies on his way home.
And we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler.
Oh, 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 oh
Right, girls, we have something that's going to cheer you right up. Yeah, it's Prince Harry in his uniform. Oh, he's gorgeous. The Prince has been in Plymouth to open the Royal Navy's £30 million amphibious centre. The buildings at Devonport Naval Base house landing craft and assault vessels, as well as acting as a training base for the Royal Marines. The Prince also attended a parade there, which is called the Royal Marines Tamar. More than 300 military personnel will be trained for worldwide operations at the base. Oh, Harry, please wear that uniform more often.
And we'll never be royal. It's the one in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. And baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
I do it for my health. The body feels me quite as much as I feel myself. Max normal. The baddest public speaker, suck funk from the ether. To pump through your speaker, play fans, you chose the wrong part to piss in. You work for us, man, here's your job description. Love us more than anything in your life. We don't play games, drop names, pull strings, or bite us. Nothing of us save that which is practically beneficent to you and your quest for complete self-sufficiency. Choose the quickest way between two points. Don't waste your energy on this into action. Don't be scared of anything except letting yourself down out. Do yourself, work harder than anyone else. Now make very clear distinctions between parasites and creators. Be a creator instead of a secondhand artificial flavor. Do not concern yourself with anyone's opinion of your method. Save your own. Be three steps ahead of everyone, and I promise you'll make it home. Do not sleep too much. Be firm yet supple, use me as a weapon, max normal. Flirts with trouble, put me on the front line. I cannot be destroyed, you know the deal. Anti-personnel spells get deployed. Make our music as available as possible. This is there, why fuck with it if you feel you got the skill. Do not try to be clever, rather direct, practical. Of a fancy construct, diagrammatical. The free radical alone, hitman for hire. Power hungry liars, fan the fire. Treat people who do not understand what we do with the least amount of energy as possible. Live it, don't give it, be original, even when you aren't. Make your mom proud, take us all over the world. We like to travel, steer clear of dead things you never know. You might unravel your hidden secrets. Young descendants of Eve, work the hardest at becoming entirely independent of me. Utilize me as you would a product. Here comes the best bit, invent the future, then manifest it. Keep yourself in check, sir, don't forget it. Decide exactly what it is that you want, then go out and get it without requiring anything of anyone. Spark something new that'll last forever. Don't go to them, let them come to you. Do not underestimate your value. Start representing when my mom sent me into this world. She sent a blessing. This job description could be translated as how to manage an explosion. Stay invisible to you, invincible. Then set your plan in motion. This is war. We battle demons. Become the perfect assassin. Do not endanger the unit by being anything less than perfect. The channels are open. Do not be afraid of this, but know that stepping through these channels is dangerous. Corporate giants can't cover the link between our art and our clients. So come on, freak us out. Be defiant, non-compliant, and above all things, be honest. If that there's no end in sight, and know that I will defend it. Shit, my life had fun, but knowing that having indefinite fun requires meticulous maintenance. I've been ridiculously conspicuous, but now I'm sick of the pain, cause I'm here to bring the pain. Let us avoid stagnation at a cost. Step lively, do what you say, kick information at a loss. That I do not perform for people, I make music that I love, and it's wonderful to watch people in love.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.